The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, teaches us the halachas abayver. And the Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan, Hoyu lefanav minei oichlim. Bayer v'oichel, or bayer miniach. The Mishnah, the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, as the entire Amud proceeds, under what circumstances bayer is permitted, and under what circumstances bayer is not permitted. And immediately, there's a machlokes rishonim. What is the proper girsa in the Gemara? The girsa that we just read in our Gemara is hoy lefonav minei oichlim, which is the girsa that Rashi has in our Gemara, which means that you have a food, according to most rishonim, they explain Rashi, that you have a food, and with the food is mixed psoilus, and you want to separate the oichel from the psoilus. And the braisa, as the Gemara goes on to explain the braisa, attempts to teach us when bayer is permitted and when bayer is not permitted. Tosfos, however, has a different girsa in this Gemara. And Tosfos' girsa in the Gemara is Hoyu lefonav shnei minei oichlim. That means, according to Tosfos, you could have two perfectly good foods. Just you want to eat one, and you don't want to eat the other food. Tosfos says, "The ba'oichel mitoich oichel shaych breira." There's breira possible, says Tosfos, even when you have two foods. Shebreira oisish ena oisah chavetz lecho. You separate the food that you don't want to eat, metoich oisay shiratz alecho, from the food that you do want to eat. Says Tosfos, the oisish ena chavetz boy, the food that you don't want to eat, choshev psoilus legaba oisish chavetz lecho. It's considered psoilus compared to the food you want to eat. The kemasim be Yerushalmi, the goyres habayr oichlem metoich oichlem. So Tosfos says that oichlem metoich psoilus and oichel can mean two perfectly good foods. I just prefer one and I don't want to have the other. That is enough for it to be considered a situation of bayer. The Mi'iri has some sort of a compromise position. The Mi'iri position is that if you have two foods that are both cooked, then that can't be considered oichel and psoilus. But if you have two foods and one is cooked and one is raw, that even if the raw food is edible, still compared to the cooked food, it's really not that great. And that's why it's going to be considered bayer. But if you'll have two cooked foods, he's going to agree with Rashi that that would not be considered a situation of bayer. And to understand this Gemara, this Machlokes Rishonim, it really speaks to the heart of the question, what is the Malacha Abayra? And actually, if we look into the Rishonim and Achronim, we find three different interpretations of the Malacha Abayra that have very significant halachic ramifications. One opinion is that Abayra means L'takunei Uchlo. When you have food and it has mixed into it psoilus, so that food is not desirable, by removing the psoilus, you make the food better, and that's why it's considered bayer. There's another opinion that bayer is not focused on the food, but it's focused on the psoilus. The removal of the psoilus is the act of bayer. Even though there's a very interesting question that the Yeshua Yaakov poses. He says, if the Malacha Abayra is the removal of the psoilus, so it's a Malacha Shenet Tzurich Legufa. Because we always interpret that the definition of a Malacha Shenet Tzurich Legufa is if you would prefer not to have to do the Malacha in the first place. The classical example is carrying Rachmanot Tzlan a mace out of the home. So carrying a mace out of the home is always considered a Malachah Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, because it's not that I want the mace to be outside versus inside. I just want to remove the mace from the home, and therefore it's considered a Malachah Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So if we interpret that the definition of Bayer is the removal of the psilus, that too, it seems, is a situation of a Malachah Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. I don't want to specifically remove the psilus. I just don't want to have the psilus in my food. And the Yeshivas Yaakov actually asked this question. So why doesn't every Bayer remain a Malachah Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? And the best teretz that I found to this question is that if a malacha in the Mishkan, which we know is the source and the model for all malachas on Shabbos, was done in a malachas and a tzricha l'gufa fashion, even Rav Shimon, who holds that we're not chayiv for malachas and a tzricha l'gufa, will agree that this is considered a malachas and this is a malacha. When is there a p'tur, according to Rav Shimon, a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa? In a situation when a malacha was done in the Mishkan and can be done in a fashion of tzricha l'gufa, so when you do it in a malacha, carrying is the best example. So carrying is certainly possible to be done with malacha tzricha l'gufa when I want to carry something outdoors to the Rishus HaRabim or indoors to the Rishus HaYochid. So when it's done, in the example that we gave a moment ago, carrying a mace, a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa fashion, Rav Shimon says that that's not a malacha. But if the malacha, if the entire definition of the malacha is that this is a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, for if you interpret the definition of bayur is the removal of psilus, then it's going to be a malacha even though it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. But then, there's a third interpretation, which actually, I think, the Ramban means to say. The Ramban says that the malacha of Bayer is not making the oichel better, it's not removing the psilus, but rather, says the Ramban, the definition of Bayer is the separation of two mixed together items. When I have two items that are combined, and I separate them into two, that is the definition, says the Ramban, of a malacha. That is the definition, says the Ramban, of a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. And to understand the nafkamina between these pshatim, so one interesting nafkamina, and really the Minchas Chinuch in the Maisach Shabbos, when he speaks about malachas bayur, touches upon this, says he discusses. Everybody seems to agree that the shear of Bayer, as is the shear in many malachas, is a groigris. And the mefarshim debate, what is the shear groigris? When we speak about it needing to be a groigris, what has to be a groigris in order to violate a Bayer? If we say the definition of Bayer is l'sakit oichlo, so we have to have a groigris of food. If we say the definition of bayur is the removal of the psilus, then we have to have a groigris of psilus. And if we say the definition of bayur is the separation of two different items that are combined together, then as long as you have a groigris of these two combined entities, even though you don't have a groigris of oichel alone, or you don't have a groigris of psilus alone, it still would be considered the act of bayur. And actually, I think that this is something that the Yerushalmi in Masechta Shabbos, that Mem Tes Amud Beis, alludes to. In two places, actually, on that very Amud. The Yerushalmi says, in trying to describe the Malacha Abayur, Amar Rav Yudin, Yeshu Hu Bayur Tzroiris Kol Hayoyim, it could be possible that you separate Tzroiris, which is a real example of psilus, you separate pebbles out of your food, Veinim Eschayif. and you wouldn't be chayiv. And yesh, you took out a whole handful, bucketful of tzroiris, and you haven't violated bayur. Yeshu noitel, but continues the Yerushalmi. Noitel kegroigus, you take out a small amount, umiyad mischayiv, and you will immediately be chayiv for violating bayur. Says the Yerushalmi, heich avidi, hoy yoshel gabi kriyu. If you have a whole big basket of fruit that has in them tzroiris, or bira tzroiris kol hayoy, and you remove tzroiris the whole day, ain't a mischayiv. Because let's think about it. The Yerushalmi is obviously over here learning that the definition of bayru is l'saken oichlo, to make your food edible. So you might have taken out many pebbles from your basket, but as long as there are pebbles still remaining in your basket, you haven't violated bayru. You haven't made your oichel into a good oichel. However, not the toich yadai. You put your hand into the basket full of grain, and you have a handful of grain. So now we're not looking at the whole basket anymore. You separated that handful from your basket. And then you have ubira, and you did brira, and now you have a perfect handful of clean grain. So you took a much less pebbles than you did in the previous case. But now you have your handful of grain perfectly fine, and you would be chayiv. And the Gemara actually continues with this question, because if you look a few lines later on that omit in the Yerushalmi discusses the following situation, which is not really addressed in our sugya. Birer oichlim etoich oichlim. If you separate oichl from oichl, what is the halacha? Is that considered breira or not? Chizkiyah mechayiv. Says the Gemara, says the Yerushalmi, it's a machlokes of Chizkiyah and Rav Yochanan. What is the machlokes? The machlokes, it seems, is when you have oichel mitoich oichel, which is exactly what we started the shiur with, the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos, of the girsa in our Gemara. What is the proper girsa in our Gemara? If we say that the pshat and bayur is l'saken oichlo, your food is perfect. If we say, therefore, it wouldn't be bayur. If we say the definition of bayur is to take out psoilus from the oichel, so now we have a question. How do we look at the food that you don't want to eat? Is it considered psoilus because I don't want to eat this food? Or is it considered oichel because I want it, because it's edible? But if we follow the opinion of the Ramban, that the Ramban, as we said a few moments ago, the definition according to the Ramban of bayur is when you separate two items, even though both are oichel, the act of separation is what is considered bayur. So now we could understand very well what Chizkiyah says, chayiv. Says the Gemara, and there are another, and actually there are a number of other types of, there are a number of other different issues that come up when we discuss this question. What would be the halacha if you don't have the two foods right mixed together, but you have one food on top of the other? So will that be considered bayur or not? If we say the definition of bayur is l'saken oichla, you're not making the food edible. The food has nothing extraneous mixed into it. If, however, we decide that the definition of bayur is that you are separating two items, so could well be, even in a situation where one item is on top of the other item, it's still considered an act of separation and would be considered bayur. Another example. Let's say you have a food that's perfectly edible. Perfectly edible. But in that food, you have something that you don't enjoy eating. So is that considered bayur or not? If we say that it's an act of separation, it's certainly an act of separation. Even if we say that the definition is l'saken oichla, it also perhaps could be considered l'saken oichla. Certainly, according to Tosfos, it will be considered l'saken oichla, because you want to remove the part of this mixture that you don't enjoy eating. But if we say that it's the removal of psilus, so maybe I don't like this food, but it certainly doesn't make it into psilus, and therefore maybe it wouldn't be considered a situation of boiler. And perhaps in understanding this discussion that we're now having in our shir, we actually could take this a step further. We could take this a step further in talking about a very famous machloikis of the Taz and the versus the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish. He discusses a question which doesn't come up that often, Baruch Hashem, anymore, but I will show you how it could even come up Bizman Hazeh. And that is, the Taz discusses a situation where there's a fly that fell into the soup. The famous question that of a fly that fell into a soup. The Taz says, and it's important before we go further in the shir, to review what our sugya teaches us, that what are the conditions when boyer is mutter, and the Gemara gives three conditions under when we don't have an issue of boyer. One is that we remove the oichel from the psilus. Two, it should be done immediately. And three is if it's done by hand, not using a keli. And in Mitzvah Hashem, the Ezer Hashem, in our coming shiurim, we're going to be discussing these various issues. So the Taz discusses the famous issue if a fly fell into your soup. So the fly is certainly psilus. Are you allowed to remove the fly from the soup? And as I said, that may be a question that doesn't come up that often, Baruch Hashem, in our world. But there is a situation that comes up, perhaps more likely to come up. Let's say you squeeze a lemon, and of course you squeeze the lemon in a permissible way. You squeeze the lemon into your tea. And while you squeeze the lemon into your tea, a pit from the lemon fell into the tea. So separating that pit, or separating that fly from your soup or your tea, seems to be a situation of boil. I do have to say, and we're going to discuss this as well in future shiurim, that there are paiskim that want to say that something that's very noticeable, that's not part of what you're eating, the pit in your tea, the fly in your soup, may not be considered a situation of taruvus. And the Isser Abayur only applies when you have a taruvus, when you have a mixture. But clearly, all the poskim seem to indicate that a fly in the soup, a small fly, is considered boyer. So the Taz gives us one eitzah, gives us a piece of advice how to get the fly out of the soup without having a crown of boyer. He says, don't just take the fly out of the soup, take some soup along with the fly, and like that it won't just be psilus mitaych oichel, it'll be oichel also mitaych oichel. The Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Chazon Ish don't agree with the approach of the Taz. What is their machloikis? Their machloikis is exactly what we are discussing in our current shiur. According to the Taz, the definition of boyer is taking the psilus out of the oichel. So if you didn't just take psilus out of the oichel, according to him, the removal of psilus is the definition of boyer. And if you didn't just take out psilus, in the example that I just gave, you took along some soup, you took along some tea, So now you don't have a situation of removal of psalms. However, the Shulchan Aruch Rav holds, and it's actually interesting to mention this, because when you look at the Shulchan Aruch Rav in the Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to agree with the opinion of the Taz. The Shulchan Aruch Rav in his Siddur does not agree with the opinion of the Taz. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, in the Siddur, he doesn't agree with the Taz. Why? Because he obviously is of the opinion that the definition of Bayru is Lasakan Eichlo. So just because you took along with the fly or with the pit some tea or some soup, but what you've accomplished is Lasakan Eichlo. You didn't want to eat the soup that had in it the fly, and now you don't have a fly in it. The fact that you removed together with the fly some soup is immaterial. You still have Lasakan Eichlo, and that's why it's considered Bayru. It's interesting to point out that the Chazon Ish has a different reason why he doesn't agree with the Taz's approach. The Chazon Ish says that when you take some soup along with the fly, that soup, you're not going to eat that soup. If you have a spoonful that you scoop out of that soup that has on it fly and soup, you're not going to eat that soup. And therefore that soup cannot be considered an oichel. Very much along the lines of what we've been discussing in our shir, that the definition of oichel is not, is it a food, is it a psoilus? But rather, as Tosfos indicated, the definition of oichel and psoilus is will you or won't you eat it? And this soup that you spooned out together with the fly, you're not going to eat that soup. And that's why it's considered bayur. Another question that comes up quite often is many people have the minig on Shabbos that they eat Shabbos by day at the Suda, they eat eggs together with onions. And there are people that don't like the onion. And the question is, can you remove the onion? Of course you can't. If we started today's shiur that what you don't want to eat is considered psoilus, so when you have that onion that's in the egg salad that you don't want to eat, that onion becomes psoilus for you. And the removal of that onion will be considered psoilus mitoichoichel. The only eitzah that I saw the Paiskim say is a very interesting approach. Let's say I'm sitting by the table and I'm served the egg and I don't like the egg with the onion, but I have somebody sitting next to me that actually likes onion. So if I remove the onion from my egg salad and I give it to him and he immediately will eat the onion, so certainly this will be considered a situation of the removal of oichel mitoich oichel. And oichel mitoich oichel, as we're saying, is actually permitted. The only issue with that approach is that certainly if we say that the isser abayr is the removal of psoilus, so if I have somebody sitting right next to me who wants to eat that egg, that onion, it wouldn't be considered psoilus. But if we say the definition of bayur is lasakan oichla, so till now, as long as the onion was in this egg salad, I didn't want to eat it. It wasn't edible to me. The removal of the onion, even though I'm going to give it to the person sitting next to me and he'll be very happy to eat it, but still the food I made better, that I made it now edible to me, I wouldn't eat it as long as it had the onion, maybe it would be considered bayur. Or if we follow the opinion of the Ramban, that whenever we separate something that's two different items and we separate it, that would be considered bayur. And therefore that would perhaps be usur, even if I'm giving the onion to someone who wants to eat it. It could be that according to the Ramban, it wouldn't be, because according to Ramban, maybe we could be lenient, because it's not separate, it's already somewhat separated, but Pashtus you would have to be Machmer. However, the Paiskim do say that let's say you have your egg salad, and mixed into your egg salad, when the eggs were peeled, they weren't peeled that well, and there may be a piece of eggshell in your egg salad, there we have to be a lot more machmer, because that is certainly considered psoilus, because nobody wants to eat eggshell, and therefore the eggshell is certainly considered psoilus. It's certainly a small piece of eggshell, and it would be considered a taruvus, and it would be usur. Or another example that I saw the Paiskim discuss. What would be the halacha if you have a vegetable salad, and there are a number of different types of vegetables in your vegetable salad, and there's one type of vegetable that you don't like? Can you remove that vegetable from the vegetable salad? It seems to be that that vegetable that you don't want to eat is a psoilus, and you therefore can't remove it from the eichel. Again, if we say the definition of bayur is the removal of psoilus, and there's someone sitting at the table who will eat that vegetable, so then if you pick those vegetables out of your vegetable salad and give it to him, according to that definition of bayur, you wouldn't have a problem. But if we follow the other definitions of bayur, lasakat oichlo, or the separation of two minim that are mixed together, that would be considered bayur. Another interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. Let's say, and this question is could be quite a common shaila, as I will show in a second. Let's say you have a piece of bread, and smeared on this piece of bread is butter or peanut butter, and you want to eat, and you're given this piece of bread to eat, and you don't like butter and you don't like peanut butter, so you want to remove the butter or the peanut butter from that piece of bread. Would that be considered bayur? Some Paiskim say that we could be lenient. Why? Because we go back to what the Taz said. The Taz said that when we take along with the psoilus some oichel, that is a considered bayur. So certainly when you're going to try to get the butter or the peanut butter off your bread, you're certainly going to take a part of the brace of bread with it. So according to the Taz, we could be lenient. On the other hand, the Paiskim say, it's impossible to get all of the peanut butter and all of the butter off your bread. So if we say the definition of bayur is the removal of psoilus, the Taz's interpretation, there wouldn't be a problem. If we say the definition of bayur is lesaken oichla, I don't know if this is a situation of a sakan oichloi when you're still going to have some butter or peanut butter left on your bread. But what's going to be the halacha according to the Ramban, who defines bayur as the separation of two items? Here you are separating. And even if your separation is not complete because there's some butter left, or you took some bread with your butter, that may still be considered an act of bayur. Where does the shaila come up? It's very common that people, when they have these sandwich cookies that have cream in the middle, so all of us are children to some degree, and when we eat that cookie, many people open up the cookie and they separate the cream off the cookie part. It could well be that cream is oichel and the cookie is the psoilus, if you want to eat the cream. So oichel matay psoilus is mutter. But let's say you don't want to eat the cream, and you remove the cream, and you're able to remove all of the cream, that may be usur, because that perhaps is considered a situation of oichel mitaych psoilus, a psoilus mitaych oichel, which we're learning is usur.